Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
I want to thank Pastor Joshua and Pastor Corinne for this honor and privilege to share with you this morning. I'm excited. This is me being excited. I don't really emote a lot, so I am excited to be. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited on the inside to be here this morning. We've been on a journey these past 3 weeks in a sermon series called Listen, and it's been about hearing the voice of God. And so I'm going to continue that. This is the fourth installment in the Listen series, and I'm calling it He Said What He Said. Okay? He said what he said. So before we get into finding out what he said, that he said, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you for the honor and privilege to be in your presence this morning to hear what you are saying to us, Lord God. I just activate everybody's ears, Lord God, that they hear and listen to what you're saying, Lord God. Anoint our minds so that we can understand what your spirit is saying this morning, and anoint our hearts so that we can receive what your spirit is saying today. Amen? Amen. So you guys, since this is a listen series, you have to promise that you're going to. Okay. Look, you're already doing it. So we're going to go back to the book of Genesis in the very beginning, to one of the first times that we see God talking to man. So after God created the first man, Adam, we know he placed him in a garden in a place called Eden. And he told him, he said, Adam, you see all these trees in this garden. You can eat of any tree, the fruit of any tree in this garden, except the tree at the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This tree you do not eat from. If you eat from it, you will die. Okay? Sometime later, I don't know how much later, the serpent comes to Adam's wife Eve. Now, if a serpent starts talking to me, we are about to have a deliverance service for the serpent, because no way you're supposed to be talking. So maybe animals talk then. I don't know. Maybe it was Narnia going on up in there. I don't know. But the serpent asks Eve, did God really say that you can't eat from any fruit of any tree in this garden? And Eve said, no, God didn't say that. God said we could eat of any tree, the fruit of any tree in this garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can't even touch that, because if we do, we'll die. And Satan said, God only told you that because he knows that if you eat from this tree, that your eyes will be open and you will know good and evil and you will be just like God. That's why he doesn't want you to eat from the tree. And so Eve begins to reason. She starts to look at the fruit. She said, well, it looked good. It don't look like it's going to kill me. It don't look poisonous. You know, it looks like it's going to taste good. And if I eat it, I'm going to be like God. Oh, let me go ahead and have this. And so Eve ate the fruit. One of Satan's primary tactics to get us to doubt or question what we have heard from God is reasoning. He gets us to either he tries to convince us that God isn't talking to us at all. Like, why is God talking to you? He created the world. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is he doing talking to little old you? That's you talking to you. That's not God. Or he'll try to convince you that that's not what God said. So I find it so interesting that it is easier for us to listen to the voice of reason or doubt or fear or anxiety than it is for us to listen to the voice of God. When reason starts to talk to us or fear starts to talk to us, we immediately respond. But when God starts to talk to us, the enemy comes in to try to get us to doubt what he is saying to us. Now, although the Bible doesn't mention whether or not Eve was with Adam when he spoke that word to Adam about not eating from the tree, we can guess that Adam, as Eve's covering, relayed the message to her and said, God said, don't eat from this tree, right? Just like our covering, our pastors, our parents, our spouse, husbands, covering wives, will give us a word from God and say, God said this for our house, or God said this for our family. And so if we believe that that word is truth, then why when the enemy comes, or why when the enemy came to Eve, if she believed that God is the true God, her husband didn't lie to her, God didn't lie to her, why did she listen to the serpent instead of immediately rebuking the serpent? Because what the serpent was saying was in opposition to what the word was from the Lord. So like the enemy did, the serpent did with Eve, he does the same thing with us. He causes us to begin to reason. Things that he says to us, things we read in his word, surely God doesn't really mean that we shouldn't fornicate. He doesn't really mean that we shouldn't have sex before we get married, because that was written thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, and those people didn't have needs like we have needs now. They were different. They were built differently. He made them different. And so that was for then, and that's not for now. And so that's not, God didn't say that. I guarantee you that it is for now. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. In other words, he said, I said what I said. So we have to remember that the serpent is described as cunning, and he's subtle, right? So reasoning is a subtle way that he gets us not to listen to God when God has spoken to us or given us a promise. Another example of reasoning getting in the way of somebody and their promise is Abraham. God spoke directly to Abraham, right? This was in, he didn't hear from a pastor. A prophet didn't come and talk to him. God spoke directly to Abraham multiple times. We see it multiple times in scripture. You will be the father of many nations. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Your descendants will be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. God said it to him over and over and over again. But as Abraham and his wife began to age, they began to reason. They started to say, we kind of old. Things don't work like they used to work. Maybe God meant we will have a child through surrogate. Maybe that's what he meant when he said you're going to have children. He didn't mean me, Abraham. He meant surrogate, and I have the servant Hagar here, and so we can have our promised child through surrogacy. So they go ahead and try to help God out with situation. God did not ask for help, because he said what he said, okay? And so they go, and Abraham has a son with Hagar, Ishmael. But we know that this was not a part of God's plan. This is not what he said, because after Ishmael was born, God said, I said you're going to have a son with your wife. Now I'm going to bless this one, because it's not his fault, and a great nation will come from him as well. But you are going to have a son with your wife, right? And because of Abraham and Sarah's reasoning that led to their disobedience to God, we see a family feud that is still going on to this day between the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac. So Satan used that tactic of reasoning with Eve. He used it with Abraham, and he uses it with us. So when our minds start to go into overdrive, I'm very guilty of this. I live in my head a lot. And we start dissecting, like, what did you mean when you say it? But we're not really asking God. We're, like, trying to figure it out. So there are a few questions that we need to ask ourselves. And I am not being sarcastic, although they may come across as sarcasm. Does God lie? Does he lie? Does God get confused? God, is he confused? He thought, maybe he didn't know that I was old and past childbearing age, and so let me go and help him out. Does he get confused? Is what I'm thinking lined up with what God has spoken to me or what it says in his word? So those are the questions we ask ourselves. If the answer is no to one of them, not three, one of them, then you need to start rebuking the enemy in the name of Jesus. We can look at Jesus to see how we need to respond when the enemy starts to come at us with crazy thoughts, right? So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. When I read that the first time, I said, Holy Spirit, why would you do this to the man? You led him into the wilderness to be tempted. However, Jesus was on a fast. Satan thought, oh, he's on a fast. He's going to be weak. He's going to be delirious. But Satan doesn't know that fasting is like taking the super serum that Captain America takes. Like, and that just makes us even more tuned in and dialed into the Holy Spirit and what he's saying. So the Bible says that Satan came to Jesus three times. One of those times, he took him to Jerusalem, and he took him to the top, the highest pinnacle of the temple, and he told Jesus to jump. He said, go ahead and jump. Isn't God saying in his word that if you jump, that the angels that he's given charge over you will catch you? And the Bible does say that. It's in Psalms 91, verses 11 and 12. So Satan was being slick here, trying to manipulate Jesus into doing what God said not to do with the word of God. But Jesus was tuning and dialed into the Father, and he says, ha ha, God also says, don't try me. It actually says, don't test the Lord your God, but translate, don't try me. Don't try me. You go here and jump off of this temple, you're going to bust your head open. Now, if you trip, if somebody pushes you, the enemy attacks you, yes, God will send his angels. But if you're doing it just to see if God's going to do what he said, don't try me. Don't test the Lord your God, right? So I have an incident that's similar where the enemy tried to reason me out of doing what God told me to do, with scripture as well. I've told this story before, so those who've heard it, bear with me. So when I moved here to Miami, I got a word from God to move to Miami. And it was confirmed. He confirmed it several times. So I moved here. It wasn't easy. It was rough for several years. And so my parents are like, okay, you need to move home. And so they're telling me to move home. I know what God has told me. And so the enemy brings scripture to me. Obey your children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long upon the land. And so I'm starting to say, well, maybe they're right. Maybe it's time. Maybe the season is over. And I remember God very clearly saying to me, if you listen to your earthly father instead of your heavenly father, you will be in trouble. Who are you going to listen to? Your parents who are human and see and know in part, or your heavenly father who's omniscient and knows the beginning from the end? And I said, you know what? I'm just going to thug it out over here. You've been providing. You're going to continue to provide for me. So not listening to the voice of God can lead to colossal consequences in our lives. And so that is why I just have to reiterate a principle that Pastor Joshua said a couple of weeks ago, which is that we have to, that's why we have to be able to hear him through the chaos. We have to be able to hear the voice of God through the chaos. And the chaos can sound like the enemy. The chaos can sound like well-meaning people who love you and appreciate you, and they think they're telling you the very best thing that they know, which is the exact opposite of what God said. So it can sound like that. To be able to quiet those voices, and how you quiet those voices is a principle that Pastor Corinne said last week, is to take time and create a space to listen to God and hear what he is saying. So right now, there are lots of sounds going on around us. The AC is going, there's cars going by outside. We're hearing them, but we're not consciously hearing them. right, is in the background, and we're filtering them or quieting them now because you're focusing on my voice and you're and my voice is amplified, and you're listening to me, right? So it's the same thing. When we begin to focus on God and what he is saying, those other voices will begin to become quiet. They don't stop, but you just don't focus on them anymore, right? I share with my hope group on Tuesday that my mom would aggravate me because, don't tell her, is this being recorded? She, when I was little, like, I want you to look at me when I'm talking to you. And so I'd be like, you're not listening to me. And she was like, I hear you. I hear with my ears, but not with my, I hear with my ears, not with my eyes. I don't have to look at you. And I was like, yeah, but you're not listening to me because 10 minutes from now, you're going to be like, what did you say? And it's the same thing, like, with God. Like, he wants our undivided tune and attention away from distraction, away from the phone, away from the internet, away from the TV, away from your kids, away from your spouse. He wants that tuned and dialed in time with him so that he can talk to you and he can instruct you. In Genesis 41, we see the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. He has two dreams in one night. And the first dream was that seven fat cows were eaten by seven skinny cows, right? And the second dream, seven healthy stalks of grain were eaten by seven unhealthy stalks of grain. And he woke up and he said, there's something to that, right? And so he calls his magicians and his wise men in to tell him what this dream means. And they said, we don't know. We don't know. Don't make sense to us. And his servant remembered that when he was in prison, there was a man that interpreted his dream, and the dream came to pass. So he told Pharaoh, I know this Hebrew guy. His name is Joseph. He knows how to interpret dreams. So Pharaoh said, go get Joseph out of the jail. Bring him to me. And so he said to Joseph, I hear you interpret dreams. And Joseph said, it's not me. I don't interpret dreams. Interpretation comes from the Lord. But tell me what you dreamt, and we'll see what the Lord says. And so Joseph was able to tell Pharaoh what through God, through the Holy Spirit, that it meant that there would be 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of famine. And Joseph also gave Pharaoh advice on what to do to be able to sustain his country and those around him during those 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh listened to Joseph's interpretation of the dream and also took Joseph's advice that God was warning him and preparing him for what would happen. So imagine if Pharaoh had woken up and said, dang, I must have ate some pizza before I went to bed. That's a weird dream. And went on about his life. Then he would have been like, ooh, this is booming. 7 years and thinking that's going on forever. And then they hit a famine. And then he would remember, oh, I had a dream about that. That's us. That's us. When we don't listen to what God is telling us and we just think it's just our mind or it's just a weird dream. No, God doesn't speak to us through everything. No, the wind blew. That's God. The rock fell, that's God. No, he doesn't speak to us through everything, but he can speak to us through anything. So we have to be able to discern when God is talking to us and when he is not talking to us. And again, spending time with God helps us to distinguish his voice from our own inner voice or the voice of the enemy, which, like I said, can sound like doubt, fear, anxiety, worry, reason. So we have to spend time with God to be able to know when he's talking to us or when it is just our inner voice or it's just a rock falling or it's just the wind blowing to ensure that we are listening to God when he speaks. We must know the ways that he speaks to us, right? So, of course, he speaks to us through his word. I would say that's the primary way that he speaks to us. He speaks to us through prophets. We have a prophet in the house. Or through the gifts of prophecy, which is primarily for exhortation and encouragement. He speaks to us through dreams, like I just mentioned with Pharaoh. He speaks to us through visions, right? In Acts 16, Paul saw a vision of a Macedonian man beaconing to him. And so he knew that that was God telling him that he needed to go to take the gospel to Macedonia. God speaks to us through symbols. He gave Noah a symbol. He gave him a rainbow. That's every time Noah saw the rainbow, God telling him, I'm not going to kill everybody again, although y'all vexing me. He speaks audibly, like, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. I told God, I don't know if this right or wrong, Pastor Joshua, but I told God, do not start talking to me in a room without a body. If I'm in a room by myself and I start hearing somebody speak, I'm gone. I am out of there. So God does not speak to me like that. He speaks to me in a thought, right, or as an impression in my heart. I remember one time, I might have told a story before, a time or two or three or four, but I was in a store with my best friend, and she was dress shopping, and a lady was assisting her, and the Holy Spirit said to me, pray for that lady. And I said, right now? I said, wait, maybe when she goes to the side in a corner by herself, not like in the middle of the store. And the Holy Spirit said again, pray for her. And I said, okay, you mean right now, okay. And so I asked her, I said, can I pray with you? And she said, yes. And so I began to pray for her, and the Holy Spirit started to reveal things to me about her as I prayed. And so it was thoughts that came in as I pray about this, pray about that, pray about that. And I pray with my eyes open. Her eyes were closed, but then her eyes opened, and she was looking at me like, okay. And then after I was done, she said, what are you? I said, I'm a Christian. She said, how did you know that stuff about me? I said, God told me. God sent me here. We thought we came to shop for dresses, but we came to pray for you, and that's how much he loves you. Now, the funny part of the story is that people started to congregate, started to look, and I felt like they were going to say, pray for me next. And I wasn't where I am now. I was like, we got to go. Let's go. Let's go right now. And we left. So those are some ways that God speaks to us. How do we know that it's God talking to us? Right? Is it in the Bible? Is it his character? Does it sound like God? Right? If my sister or brother came to me and said, that my mom said something crazy, because I know my mom, I was like, mommy didn't tell you that. Right? So it's the same thing as we hear something, and it's like, God would never say that. That's in violation of his character, violation of his word, violation of the truth. That's not God. So is it in the Bible? Is it his character? Does it sound like God? And then what happens when we don't listen to what God is saying? Delay, chaos, spiritual death. I have another story when I, like I said, I had a rough time for several years when I first moved here. And so about the third or fourth year that I had moved here, I was like, nah, I'm going home. Year one, I was like, I am listening to you, God. God said, I am with, yes, we're staying. Fourth year, nah, I'm going home. Bought my ticket, packed my stuff, I am leaving. God woke me up in the middle of the night, said, read Jeremiah 42. And like Pastor Corinne said, I'm like in the bed, like, Holy Spirit, can you just tell me what Jeremiah 42 says? It's like, read Jeremiah 42. So I get up, I get my Bible, I open it, and it is where the children of Israel came to the prophet Jeremiah and asked him to inquire of the Lord if they should stay where they are or should they go back to where they were before, which I think was Egypt. And so the prophet goes, he prays to God, God gives them the word. They come back the next day, and they're like, what God said? God said, if y'all go back, y'all gonna die. I said, oh, okay, I get it. Ticket purchased, not boarding that plane. But I knew it was a spiritual death, not an actual physical death, that God was talking about. But as knowing, like, I knew that wasn't me. I did not know what Jeremiah 42 said. I did not want to get up. I didn't want to read it. But God was speaking to me through his word. So things that happen when we don't listen to what God is saying, delay, chaos, or spiritual deadness. Why is God speaking to us? To give us instructions, like with Moses, and he gave him the books of the law. To give us warning, like with Pharaoh. To bring good news, like he did to Mary, 16 years old, virgin, you're pregnant. Ha, good news. I've been like, bruh, I don't know about that. But that was good news. To affirm us, he said to Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, and to fellowship with us. Several times in the Bible it said that Jesus would get away to go and chill with God, talk to him, talk to the Father, so to fellowship with us. So if there is one thing that I want you to take away with you today, is that the enemy's, one of his number one tactics to get us to not listen to what God is saying is reasoning, right? And to begin to question what God is saying. But when we spend time with God, we get to know and recognize his voice and the ways that he speaks to us, and he speaks to us all differently. And we learn that, then we could stand 10 toes down on what God has said, and we will know he said what he said. Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray. If you want to hear the voice of God more clearly, more precisely, I just want to pray with you this morning. So we're going to pray and activate our spiritual ears this morning. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord God, that you have a desire to speak to us, Heavenly Father, Lord God. So I anoint the ears of every person, Lord God, that desires to hear you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you make their ears keen and sharp, Lord God, to when you are speaking, Lord God, that you reveal yourself to them in your word, Lord God, that you reveal yourself to them in dreams, Lord God, you reveal yourself to them in visions, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that they will know your voice, Heavenly Father, Lord God, and a voice of a stranger they will not listen to, Lord God. I come against the spirit of deception that would come in, Heavenly Father, Lord God, to try to mimic and imitate your voice. We bind that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we are able to distinguish, Lord God, your true voice, Lord God, from the voice of an imitator, Heavenly Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I activate, Lord God, the gift of prophecy, Lord God, in your people, Lord God, to hear what you're saying, Lord God, and to speak it and decree and declare it in their lives, Holy Father. I come, Lord God, against any fear, any timidity, Heavenly Father, Lord God. I bind it in the name of Jesus, because you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind, in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's anybody here that does not know God or wants to reconnect with God, if you would just put your hand up, I want to pray with you. This is an opportune time to reconnect with God, because he desires a relationship with each and every one of us to bring us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He wants to do new things in our lives. He said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Don't you perceive it? We want to perceive when Jesus is doing new things in our lives. So those who raised their hands and those who didn't, you can all repeat after me. Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me, fill me, and make me new. I thank you for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.